You know, one of the advantages of not having multiple services at the moment is, and I've been part of a church that has multiple services, and it's a beautiful thing because obviously it's growth, but really, it's essentially inevitably two or three different churches if you have two or three different service times. And so the advantage of this right now is the communication can all be streamlined. And I know we have someone here. I've noticed over the past few months or years, God is bringing different people here, and specifically those who know Spanish. So just for the sake of one of our newer people that have been coming, can you raise your hand if you speak Spanish? Please raise your hand if you speak Spanish. Okay, so just so you know, Sonia and Lewis didn't want to raise their hand, but they do as well. There's six or seven here, only because, listen, I want to know those that speak Italian, because I speak Italian with them, okay? So it's just, that's just something that makes sense, and just so you know, for those of you that are newer, who you could speak with maybe in your native language, it's always a good thing. Anybody speak Swahili other than Mila? Okay, I didn't think so. All right. Let us pray, and we'll get into the Word. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for the opportunity to just gather once again. Lord, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. God, I would ask that you would be the doorkeeper of my lips, and that also, like Isaiah, like that seraphim who took the burning coal off the altar, that you would cleanse my mouth, my lips, my heart, and that the people who are here today that are valued and beloved, that they would be edified and that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, and God's family together said, amen. Howard, God bless you, brother. Good to see you. Ephesians chapter 5 today, and I have realized I was talking with Tom about this. Ephesians chapter 4, 5, and 6 really is really the nuts and bolts of how to walk out your faith as a Christian. How to walk and how to talk, as I often have said. Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 is really, it's all there. And Paul is going to set this standard of moral purity for a reason that we'll talk about more. But as I mentioned, it's going to instruct us in living out our faith, walking in a way which imitates Christ, speaking in a way that edifies others, that is above reproach or shame. How we live is the salt and light that Jesus refers to in the Sermon on the Mount. Neither salt nor light makes a sound. We walk in love because God is love. We give off sweet aroma to others when we do so. So keep that in mind as we look at this passage today, and the Apostle Paul continues to instruct us how we should be imitating Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, says this: Be ye therefore followers, some versions say imitators, same thought. Be followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor or aroma. Imitators or followers of God, how do we do that? Well, in Acts chapter 1, speaking of Christ, Acts being the Acts of the Apostle, says, The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. So Acts chapter 1 instructs us that we are to live like Jesus and teach others how to do so in word and deed, how to do the same. We are to follow, imitate, copy the actions, the words, the life of Jesus. That is how we teach. I came across a great quote I found in a very old Bible of mine. It was in my office. It's a Bible I used many, many years ago. And I wrote this quote down, and I don't know where I got it from, but it's a great quote, and it applies to this today. It says this: Tell me, and I'll forget. Show me, and I'll remember. Involve me, and I'll understand. Tell me, and I'll forget. Show me, I'll remember. Involve me, and I'll understand. It's been said that sermons, most people only retain about 7% of what is said, and that's actually can be discouraging, but also encouraging, because then when a preacher, pastor repeats themselves, it's not necessarily a bad thing. There's a good chance you missed it. But I think that quote fits right into what the Apostle Paul is trying to get across to the Ephesians today, and that's to live the light, as the sermon title is, or walk in the light. Paul said to Timothy that Timothy would remind the people of him. Paul was a spiritual father to Timothy, who he gave eventually the assignment of pastoring these people in Ephesus. Paul was also a spiritual father of Titus, who he gave the assignment of going to Crete and putting things in order. Peter started to sound and become more like Jesus in his writings at 1 Peter and 2 Peter. He certainly wasn't the same Peter that was proud and quick to react. The apostles largely were martyred like the one that they followed. We will become like those we spend time with, listen to, sit under for teaching. It is God's natural design for those made in his image. Your children, if you have them, will resemble you inevitably to some extent. You'll be like those around you. How did Jesus make his disciples? He chose them. Then he trained them. Involve me and I'll understand. In the seminary of life, they ate together, they traveled together, they ministered together. Then the disciples became like the one that they followed, became like Jesus. Keep that in mind as we move forward. The fragrance that Jesus gave off and the fragrant aroma that we should give off, if it was entitled, imagine if it was a cologne or a bottle of fragrance or perfume, would probably be called self-sacrifice or selflessness. That's what it would be. That is the essence, that is the fragrance of not only Christ, but also the Christ follower. It should be sacrifice. It should be selflessness. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. If you've been with us long enough, this is one of my favorite passages in the Bible because it's so applicable. It's nuts and bolts for today, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But listen to what Jesus says in that sermon, Matthew 5, 41. And if any man will sue you at the law and take away your coat, let him have your cloak also. That's unnatural. That's the fragrance of sacrifice. That's selfless. That would be unexpected in those days. And whosoever shall compel you or ask you to go a mile, go with him too. Again, sacrifice, self-denial. Not natural, but rather supernatural. Give to him that asks you, and to him that would borrow, do not turn away. There's the fragrance of Christ when you do those things, when you go the extra mile, as you've heard. People will get that fragrance, that essence of the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Jesus taught when he was tired. He fed those that were hungry. He willingly laid down his life. He said, "No man takes it from me," he said. It's a daily decision for you and I. He led by example. He was the light of the world. We too are called the light, children of the light. So that's what we ought to be smelling like and walking like and talking like. But then in verse 3, these are things we ought not to be doing or saying. But fornication, that's the Greek word porneia. Fornication, and that includes a long list of things from homosexuality to adultery to really any type of sexual act outside of the marriage bed. Fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once even named amongst you as become saints. Now, why did he say this? Because, again, when Paul set the standard of moral purity, he was setting a standard for the heathen that they had never heard of or even dreamed of. This is why he pleads with the Ephesians so earnestly to stay away from these things. Why? Because they were just entrenched in them. And as said in weeks past, you and I shouldn't be surprised that people that are ignorant of the righteousness of God sin a lot. You're going to sin either out of ignorance or out of transgression or out of what was referenced earlier that Tom read, that daily battle that goes on where you allow the flesh to have control over you. And those are going to be the reasons that you and I sin. But in this case, these are heathens. These are people that worshiped false gods, that lived a lifestyle like Paul is pleading with them to repent from, to turn away from. So keep that in mind. He goes on. Verse 4, neither filthiness nor foolish talking. Here comes sins of the mouth now. Nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. I think men often struggle with the type of things that the apostle is speaking of. Filthiness is just the general term of uncleanness, but silly talk, as some versions say, or coarse jesting. Notice, coarse jesting, it's always at the expense of others, and I've been on both sides of the receiving end of coarse jesting and doing it, both with my family members, specifically my sons, and my circle of friends and colleagues, so on and so forth. And we don't often consider this a sin, but men can be foolish and they struggle with pride, and therefore they will get into coarse or foolish jesting. And again, I have been offended, and I have offended others with silly talking and foolish jesting, which, by the way, are not fitting of an imitator of God. But Paul says, but rather you should be giving thanks. That's much more like the fragrance of Christ. That would be light. And so we have sins of in which we're walking in a way we ought not to, and then we have sins of the tongue, as James would say. Verse 5 says, for this you know, that no whoremonger, that's a person who habitually practices sexual sin, nor unclean person, spiritually, morally, nor covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Well, that's what Ephesus was made up of. People who are doing the exact things that Paul just said. See, we have a tendency to think that every generation that comes up is worse than the one before. There might be some truth to that. But when you go back to 60 AD or 65 AD, they were in the middle of debauchery. They were, this was a wicked people. They knew not God. This is all new to them. They didn't know that pride was bad. They didn't know that self-indulgence was a sin. They didn't know that worshiping statues as gods was wrong. So Paul is bringing in something totally new to them. And remember, whenever something new comes in, what do people actually usually do? I'll tell you what Christians do, and I don't say this offensively. They automatically assume it's evil. So anytime something new comes out, let me ask you a question. How many of you still listens to cassette tapes? No one? Okay, I have another question for you. How many of you still use a Polaroid Kodak camera? Times change. Cultures change. The Word of God does not change, but methodology changes. I was telling the praise team this morning as we're in there and praying, think about this. I want you to repicture Spencerport Bible Church. You walk in here, and especially if it's your first time, you walk in, and we have linoleum in the auditorium. We have pews, which I like pews personally, but they're pews and they're older pews. And we have just hymnals, and we sing just hymns. And we are all dressed in suit and ties, and everything looks, let me use this word correctly, outdated. There's a chance you may not come back. Because if you went out to a restaurant, and you went out to a restaurant where you felt like it was 1976 or 1996, chances are you would not go back, unless you want to be nostalgic. And see, for myself personally, after a half century now of life, I can understand both sides. I can understand the different generations. But we, as a people of God, are called to understand the current times that we're in. The Apostle Paul did. He understood the people he was talking to. He understood what their issues were. How they were being idolaters. and living in sexual sin. They were proud and self-indulgent. So his job, inspired by God the Holy Spirit, was to teach them and instruct them in the right way at that specific time in history. We're to test things. We're to give things time for the truth to come out. It says in verse 6, this is a very important verse. Let no man or person deceive you with vain or empty words. For because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not therefore partakers with them. Let no one deceive you with empty words. What would it look like back then? It's okay to have concubines. That's basically sexual slaves. It's okay to have several wives. It's okay to eat food sacrificed to idols. It's okay to worship Dagon or Diana or Baal. That was Paul's time. Well, what would it be now? It's okay. You could sleep around. Test drive the car before you buy it. It's just hooking up. It's okay to steal. It's okay to lie. Do what you think is right. That's called delusion. That's called delusion. What happens? Delusion's only mentioned one time in the scriptures. It's about when the Antichrist arrives, says they'll be given over to a strong delusion, and what will they do? They'll believe a lie. And that's the time. See, you have to understand the times we're in. We are in times of delusion. Amen. Where order doesn't matter. God's divine order doesn't matter anymore. You see, here's the divine order of God. Let me just give you some simple illustrations. Man, woman. Husband, wife. Parent, child. Teacher, student. Coach, athlete, employer, employee, human, animal. That's God's order in those relationships. But here's what delusion will do. Woman, man, child, parent, teacher, student, or student teacher. It'll change the order and create delusion, and you will start to believe a lie. You feel like a girl? Well, that's okay. Then you're a girl. Even though your body tells you differently, your reproductive organs tell you differently. God has made you in his image, but delusion will say, oh, it's okay. Delusion will tell you to care more about the life of a dog or a cat than a human. Amen? Delusion will tell you this, and if you don't know this term, it's gentle parenting. And part of gentle parenting is the parent is no longer the authority figure. And you know what you're doing? You're believing a lie. You're delusional, my friend. Now, there are aspects, as your children get older, you have to understand how to interact with them. You don't need to be a cop when your child's 17, 18. If you are, there's a problem. But that's how delusion happens. That's how this permeated, this was Ephesus, and Paul is trying to say, listen, this is wrong in God's eyes. All of this is wrong. We don't worship statues. You don't have multiple wives. You don't have multiple concubines. You're not even supposed to be, that's not even supposed to be named amongst you as a Christian. So how would that look today? When I hear the name of some of you, what I should not hear, and the same for when you hear about, our name should not be attached to adultery, should not be attached to pornography, should not be attached to stealing, lying. We should be people walking in the light, living in the light. It says, don't be partakers with them, verse 7. For you were, past tense, you were. Sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk or live as children of the light. The wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. That's in verse 5. That's the people that are being referred to, those that know not Christ. Paul is saying there are those in Ephesus and beyond that talk it but don't walk it. The longer I walk with the Lord, myself personally, the less I am moved or impressed with the talk. Someone can be fluent in Christian lingo. Let me give you some examples. You know how I just asked about Spanish and Italian? It's like a different language. You start to all of a sudden, oh, God willing, I'll pray about it. God is good. Just trust the Lord and not be a citizen in the kingdom of heaven. They know the language, But they're hypocrites, they're stage actors. Because outside of the maroon chairs, outside of this auditorium, they don't live it. By their fruits, not their words, you shall know them. Empty talk, vain words. And I will come across people that literally start speaking Christianese with me if they discover I'm a pastor. And I'm thinking to myself, but you were just dropping F-bombs. Now you found out I'm a pastor, and now you start speaking a different language. You just changed who you are. Verse 8 says, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you're in the light. Walk as children of the light. But the fruit of the Spirit, as you heard earlier, but the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove or expose them. The light you carry will expose the works of darkness. We know John 3:16, great verse. But if you read further, John 3:20 says this, and this is the condemnation, that light comes into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be made visible, reproved, exposed. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest or be made known or clear that they are done, wrought in God. Colossians 1:13, Word of God says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness, that's Satan, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Light or darkness, God or Satan, no fellowship, they are divinely opposed. What about gray? See, gray happens, that is when you mix the two. Unclear, unsure, confusing, they talk it, but they don't walk it. The light is either not there or it's really, really dim. Kind of like the skies are today. I don't like overcast, personally. Not a big fan of this weather. But God uses, once again, his creation to teach those made in his image. And throughout the scriptures, Paul does this and Jesus does this. And he says, we are to be light bearers. We are to live the light. And if you know me, again, I am about sharing the gospel verbally because you have to. That is the gospel. It is word spoken. However, there are many that use empty words or vain words. The nuts and bolts, or after noon or 1 p.m. on a Sunday, that's when the test really comes. How are you living? When you're by yourself, how are you spending your time? What are you and I doing? What are we listening to? Who are we hanging out with? You know, I was with a young man Friday night. I had an opportunity to speak at a college ministry at RIT. And there was a gentleman, a friend of mine, co-laborer in Christ, and him and I went to RIT, and we were speaking about somebody that we know mutually, and he was telling me that this person is a certain way. And I was shocked, because I know the person, like I said, mutually, and, well, he fooled me. He fooled me. Some people are really good performers. They're really, really good actors. We should be giving them Golden Globes. You want to know who really knows? And that's why I will not stand up here, I pray, ever, in a self-righteous, holier-than-thou manner, because I fail miserably at times. And I will share with you at times, as you know, some of my failures. There's no halo over my head. I've just been assigned the task of speaking the oracles of God to you, amen, to praying for you, and doing things that many of you are called to do as well. I mean, I had to apologize to my son for eating a bagel yesterday. He said, well, why did you do that? Because it was selfish, because I took the bagel from him without asking and ate it. You say, really, something that small? Yeah, God cares about the details. God cares about the details. You have the Holy Spirit with you. Did you know that? I mean, I was driving, I have my routine, and I was driving from the place I go to here, which is not very far, and I felt like the Lord nudged me to go to Union Street Coffee, and I haven't been there in a while. And I'm like, you know what, I'm going to pay attention to this. And I turn around, and sure enough, as I pull in, there's this woman getting in the car, and I said, hey, young lady, how are you? It's a woman I hadn't seen in a while, and I know some things she's going through, and I got an opportunity to speak with her. And I knew immediately that was the reason I was to go there. It's been several months. Our God is an intimate God. He knows if you just listen. Listen to that inner voice, that inner ear. God will speak to you if you just trust him and you just walk by faith. And the Apostle Paul desires that the Ephesians would know God this way, that he is in a relationship, a covenant-keeping God, and the Holy Spirit resides in those that have put their faith, hope, and trust in the finished work of Christ. And the Holy Spirit, that's God himself, he will speak to you. He'll speak to you through his word, that inner voice, other people, his creation, so many different ways. Have no fellowship, it says in verse 11. Verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are approved are made clear, manifest. All things that are exposed are made clear by the light. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. Light has a tendency to drive out the darkness. It will. Turn the light on in a dark room, and all of a sudden you will be able to see clearly. Why do men love darkness? Because as we read in God's word, because their deeds are evil. Verse 14, wherefore he says, awake thou that sleeps, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly. That means walk carefully, wisely, not as fools, but as wise. Why? Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Walk carefully. That's what we're instructed to do. Not recklessly, not aimlessly, but carefully. A lot of darkness out there. A lot of it. At your fingertips now. At your fingertips, in your face. We are to redeem the time because time matters, days are evil. And as I've said consistently now, time will always proclaim the truth. And the questions for us today are, how are we using our time, our talent, our treasure? How are we walking? You want to know if you've been delivered? You want to know if you are saved from the wrath of God? You want to know if you are born from above or born again? It's really simple in Christianity. It's very simple. Here's a real easy self-assessment. Your walk and your talk. That's it. Amen. How do you live and how do you speak? Now, you might be really self-disciplined at times to be a good actor or actress and put on a really good show at times. But who are you at the core? How is your speech and how is your life at the core? How would those that are without speak of you, those that are without Christ? Jesus said, all people will know you're my disciples by your love for one another. That's the marker of a Christ follower, of a disciple. The aroma, the fragrance is selflessness, self-sacrifice. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up as we prepare to close the service now. And as they come up, living or walking out our faith, it's simple in instruction, but very challenging in daily application. Daily application of the mind, the heart, the mouth, the feet, keeping our bodies in subjection or under control, preparing for the daily challenges, the pivots, the tests. I told you right out of the gate yesterday. And see, I wasn't really thinking about it. I wasn't even really thinking about it. And then when I had my first interaction for the day, I wasn't really thinking about it. I wasn't walking carefully. God wants us to use our mind, and he wants us to use our mouths, and he wants to be light. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. This is how you used to be. We're not even going to talk about it. And this is how you live now. Sacrificial, selfless, you go the extra mile. Somebody says, hey, can I have 10 bucks? I said, no, here, take 20. I know you need it. And I'm blessed to give it to you. Somebody says, you want to know when you really can find out your friends? When you have to move. I heard a low grumble of laughter there. Isn't it true, though? Why? Because you got to lift things and bend and sacrifice your time and all that. In the end, light will always expose darkness. It will bring clarity to your situation. In time. Jesus said it. He said a good tree can only produce good fruit. Why? Because of the roots. A bad tree can only produce bad fruit. Test things. Give things time. Walk with people to find out who they are. Isn't that what Jesus did with Judas 3.5 years? Isn't that interesting? For 3.5 years, Jesus walks with Judas. He knows who he is. And the other 11 guys have no clue. You know why? They weren't walking circumspectly. They weren't paying attention close enough. Oh, yeah, Judas is just the guy that takes care of the money while he's stealing. No, you're to walk circumspectly. You're to question things. You're to pray about things. Who you're hanging around, where you're going. What are other people? How's that going to affect other people, what you do and where you go? Do you think that way? Because we're not to stumble others. We may have liberty. The Apostle Paul says this. All things, literally all things, they're lawful for us, but they may not be permissible or beneficial for you or for others. That's why I try to be careful where I go. I told you, the places where I spend most of my time. My home, my offices, including here, the gym. And the gym can be challenging, to be honest with you, at times. You say, why? Well, we'll just say the times. We'll say the times. Sometimes not everybody conducts themselves in modest apparel. Can I say it that way? Yes? You get the point. We have to really be careful because we are the examples to those around us. We're the examples to our family. We're the examples to our friends, our workplace, all those. They're looking for us. And let me tell you, when times get hard, I was just sharing this wisdom with somebody at one of our homeschool groups here that's held at SBC. They're going to come to you. Because they know that you know the light of the world, Jesus Christ. So be careful. Ask God to open up opportunities for you to share the gospel. In the meantime, live the light. Live the light. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the opportunity to come together once again and partake of your holy word. Father, we are to be mindful always of our relationship with you. And if we are, Lord, then we'll be mindful of our relationship with others, those around us, God. It's very easy. I can only speak for myself, but I believe others here would attest to it. It's very easy to let our guard down and do or say something which is shameful. So, Lord, help us to be mindful. Help us to make good decisions. Help us to walk carefully. Help us to redeem the time. We say thank you in advance. Thank you for these beautiful people you brought here today to worship you together. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.